Why, hello, hello, hello. Thank you guys again for joining me. Again, we will be discussing the different types of domestic violence. Again, domestic violence doesn't have to be a punch, a kick, pulling of your hair. It doesn't have to be physical in that realm. As we have discussed a few different ones, a couple in our prior episodes, we've gone through psychological, physical, sexual, property, animal, and spiritual abuse. We're going to be going over the financial and verbal abuse today, because understanding the different types of abuse helps you identify it, if nothing else. Like I said, one of the biggest things you can do for yourself is actually realizing, wait a minute, I am being abused. And sometimes it's just a matter of going through and understanding what abuse really is. And for me, it was world-changing, you know, because you do kind of live in a bubble of denial. And we have to get ourselves out of that bubble of denial for our healing to begin. That's just plain and simple. I don't know any other more simpler way to put it. But there are things that we must do. Like if you have a friend of yours who you see that they're in an abusive relationship, all you really can do is let them know, hey, babe, girl, I am here for you. You know, just know I'm here. Whatever it is that they need, I'm here. You know, that support system means a lot more than anybody could ever imagine. And your support may not come from even the area that you may have originally thought it might have. So just keep that in mind. You know, there is some empowerment when we go to other women. I'm sure the same thing goes for men. There's an empowerment when you go to a, you know, man going to another man who has understanding and empathetic ear, you know. It means a lot for the victim. And as long as we at least just listen to what they have to say, listen to their story, they've been through a lot. And each and every single one of you out there that are listening to this and you go, wow, that is me. That's what I go through. You know, he's done something similar to that. Keep that in mind. Keep understanding, you know, that isn't okay. It's just not. And real love doesn't show you that. Real love is not being abused. There just isn't. There, you can't love and abuse at the same time. They're two conflicting things about each other. And I've been told even myself, you know, well, I know I acted bad. Yes, I know you did. We all know that. You know, I just know when there is true love, that hate that comes through for abuse to take place, that treatment of, you know, or less than the stuff on the bottom of my shoe, or the mud and muck and yuck that happens at the bottom of, you know, of a pothole, you know, if you will, being treated that way, there, nobody understands that except for those that have actually been through it in some fashion, some way. The forgiveness that has to take place to be in a healthier spot for yourself. I know I have done a lot of forgiveness. One of the hardest things to do personally has been for me to forgive myself. And I am so far from not done with that. I have an easier time forgiving others than I do for myself. It is a battle that I continue to this day, but it's a battle I'm fighting, and that's the difference. Where at one point in time, I was not fighting such battle, because I didn't think I was worthy because of the way I was being treated. And if you've experienced it, you understand those lows. All those things they're yelling and screaming at you, the way that they're treating you, it's just like they're telling you, hey, you deserve it. You have to take it. You know, the thing is, you don't. You shouldn't. I'll be honest. Nobody should ever put up with that. Because I'll be honest, that you yell at me, I'm done. Especially now. You grow any back hair at all? No, I'm done. I can't. I am in a very fragile state, and I know that. And I try to let those around me know that. I hope they understand that. But, you know, that's just the way that I am at right now. I am kind of like... I guess the best way to kind of describe it would be a soldier who's been at war. Like, you're looking at, like, you know, early war times where you're just tattered and beaten because the war has been going on for so long. But you gotta stay on your toes. You gotta find those moments that are for you, by you, about you, the Lord, your music, your joys. Listen to what your body tells you. I mean, that is just, it's huge. When I find myself, even sometimes I will find where I start going down just a blah kind of mode, which I know for me, when I start kind of just feeling blah, like I really don't feel anything positive, not negative, just kind of, I'm kind of there, but barely. I find that if I don't do something to catch myself in that moment, to pull myself out of it, to refocus, to, or just simply focus on something, someone, not, you know, just for me, it can even just simply be switching on my music, or it could be me opening my scriptures, opening an app, my Bible app. Okay. It could be, texting a friend, you know, but do something for you, you know, because that's what it is. There's times I will even take those moments and I start doing more research for, you know, self-healing, explaining to me a little bit more on narcissism and what to expect, you know, or abuse. And, you know, just simply because I still do research even to this day. And part of it is for the podcast, because I want to make sure that you guys have the most up-to-date, verified type of information. Because I don't want to put out bad information. I want to put out information that's going to help you. Information that helped me. Some of it is, it's like for me, my music. My music is something that, you know, to be perfectly honest, between my music and my son, those were the two things that kept me going for as long as it did. Like I said, this was, you know, 23 years of this. And there were a lot of years that I didn't know any better. I literally thought it was just him being a man getting upset. I didn't know. Because like I said, he didn't always hit. It wasn't something that was something that was brought on later. That wasn't something that was done from the jump street. Yes, I was fearful of it. And there were times that I jumped like, you know, a kid who's been smacked 15,000 different times and dad moves real sharp and he jumps, okay? You know, that's typically because you're being abused, you know? I found myself doing that, you know? Not all the time, but I did do it. He didn't hit me prior to that. you know, I was jumpy, you know, to this day. Give me a loud noise, I'm going to jump. That's part of my PTSD that I have. And I've actually been diagnosed with complex PTSD. So, you know, I'm doing everything I can to look up those things, to find different methods of healing, different ways that I can, when I find myself being triggered, or when I, you know, identifying those things that trigger me, even, you know, like I said, open your mind to whatever sources you can find the information from. Don't look down on it because, oh, well, it's a YouTube video. No, there's actually some pretty good information out there. There's psychiatrists that actually have stuff out there. You know, I'm not saying to, you know, talk to some, you know, a 15-year-old about the information, you know, because they may or may not understand it, okay? But I'm talking, you know, you can judge it, you know. It doesn't have to be from a school for it, but you can always, if you get information from one source and you're not sure about it, go to a school site. Go to somewhere where it's going to be, you know, go to a medical site, you know. I mean, Mayo Clinic, hey, they got some really strong, solid information on their sites, you know. You know, this type of stress causes health issues, not just for now, but down the road. And the more you had to deal with it, the longer you had to deal with it, the more things that are going to come up. And you have no idea what it's going to be at all. Nobody does. You know, you could be lucky where, you know, you don't. You have more minor things, you know. But it definitely puts its wear and tear on your heart. Look at all those heart-wrenching tears that you have shed. And I know each and every single one of you who've ever gone through any kind of abuse, there has been moments of those heart-wrenching tears. And I know the moment that you realize that you are being abused or have been abused, that causes those as well. They're like soul-driven type of tears. And that, I mean, they're tears from the soul. And if you've experienced it, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And I really hope that this podcast has been helping you guys. I appreciate it because it actually has been helping me as well. It's been giving me a chance to kind of just, I don't feel any woman, any man, any child, any human being, any being at all. I don't care if you are a plant. You do not deserve to be beaten down. You don't deserve to be mistreated. You don't deserve to be oppressed in any shape, way, or form. And especially by those who claim that they love us. For those that we have given our all to. And then some. Because we were also being abused. Which means what you poured into their cup or are poured into their cup comes from basically an empty cup because we don't have the love that we should be getting from the person that we're giving our love to. And they will never see the fact of how much love you gave them, especially as long as they are abusing you. I can't say after because, you know, awakenings happen and people get away from a situation or whatever, and you're able to see things differently. You're able to voice it and say, hey, you know, it's not like I'm in the middle of being abused and say, hey, that's no way for you to talk to your wife that way, or hey, that's no way for you to treat me, or you know what, you're going to do that when, you know, whatever. It doesn't matter. It's just not a way to treat anybody. And I have, ever since I was a child, I hated bullying. I hated mistreatment of people, whether I knew them or not. I mean, it's just one of the proudest moments I had was as a mother. My son, my hero, he saw a friend of his who was getting beat up by a couple of boys, ganged up on. I think there were like two or three of them. And my son jumped in and he told him, go run, you know, and go to the office or something like that. And he took on that fight. He didn't have to. was a teammate of his from T-ball. My son was all of six. No, matter of fact, I take that back. He was all of five at that time. So I apologize. He was five. My son somehow was able to, I guess, zone in on that. And when I see that, when I remember those things, there's healing that happens with that. Because even though we were in that house of forms of horror, if you will, he was able to see and understand some of the lessons that were being taught to him. And if you see somebody who needs your help, you help. And I feel that day he truly did. And I think he kept it, because years later he wound up doing, in essence, the same thing for me. He didn't fight, thank goodness, but he stood up for me against my abuser. And he put his foot down and saying, "That's my mother. You cannot talk or treat her that way." And that is just absolutely amazing. And I will forever hold that dear, near and dear to my heart. That has been part of my healing. That has been the gold patches on my heart as I'm healing and filling it up with good and getting rid of all the negative, purging myself of all that negative gook that had built up for so many years. So I'm grabbing onto those solid moments, those times when you go, "You have my back. That was strong. That was brave. Oh my gosh, I can't believe you did that." Talk to yourself. You need to. Because I know for the longest time, all I had was negative voices. And unfortunately, most of the time, the voice that I heard, it may have been my voice, but it was the words of my abuser. And to this day, I still have to catch myself from having those words just kind of automatically play, you know. You're not purposely trying to do it, you know. And when I hear that, I try to fill it with other words. You know, we have to find those things that help us. And I will be right back. Thank you guys so much. All right. So we're going to get right into the financial abuse. This is controlling your money. Like, you can't go to the store and buy anything other than what he told you to buy. He doles out little bits of money so that way you can't spend, you can't save it. Where's your receipt? How long did you take? These kind of things. You know, you're being restricted on, like, how many hours he wants you to work, you know, if you can work. Some women haven't been allowed to work at all. Some women, you're at work and he's calling you all day long, you know. I know I struggled with a little bit of that as well. Every single lunch, no matter rain or shine, it was like if I didn't call him, he'd be in a bad mood, you know. But unfortunately, when I called him, half the time I wound up getting yelled at. So it was kind of, what was the point? But I did it because I was the dutiful wife. I loved him. So, you know, I always had high hopes for our conversations, but deep in my heart, there was a piece of dread, and there were some days when I left the house and I knew he was in a foul mood. Those conversations weren't going to go well, and I knew that, you know, but there was nothing I could do about it, you know, and I felt it was a lost cause, my fault, once again, you know, but like I said, he didn't do too much of the financial stuff. It was, luckily, you know, like I said, not every abuser is going to do all these different things. It's just all these different things. It could be one and that's enough, you know. financial abuse is enough of an issue where, I mean, you're keeping me from getting my spousal support, or you're not paying your child support for some reason, you know, supposedly, oh, well, I can't, but yet, you know, you're working, you know, he's doing what he's supposed to be doing, you know, and these are not okay. Or denying you basics like, oh, I'm not going to buy you any, you know, menstrual pads or something, or I'm not going to buy toilet paper, or you're the only one that drinks regular milk, so he doesn't give you the money for regular milk, or he doesn't buy it. Say he's the one that goes grocery, you know, these things, you know, this is not okay. Again, it is abusing you, keeping you, it's like counting down to every single tiny little penny, you know. Give me a break, you know. And I've been broke, very broke, okay, but you don't need to know where I spent 2 cents at because your math shows that it should be, you know, whatever. No, that's not okay. A, I'm not a little child, you know. And there's got to be something more to that, you know. You've got to give me the freedom. And if they are making sure that they spend as much money as possible, they're getting you down to zero all the time, they're just funneling right through any kind of cash you guys get your hands on, you know, that's a sign. It just is. It really is. They're purposely trying to go about, this isn't like you got some expense that happened, you know, car repair, whatever, things like that. Okay, hey, it happens. I mean, yes, but when he or she is constantly trying to have you tabulate and account for every penny, or they give you such a small amount where you can literally only get your basics of what you're supposed to get at the store, but you don't have, like, you know, it's going to cost you $25 to get what you need, but he gives you $25, you know, okay, can I get a little extra in case, you know, but these are the things that they use. They're using the money so you can't save. You can't put any aside because they're going to know every little penny that's there. And that's not okay at all. And it's where a lot of women, that it's hard to find your way to get out of something when you can't put anything aside. Because you have to physically move. You've got to do something. You've got to get out of there. You know. And I will be right back. All right. Hello. So we just wrapped up with financial, and now we're going to get into verbal abuse. This is kind of a bigger one. For me personally, I had a lot of experience with this one. Put downs, calling all kinds of names, swearing at you, belittling you, putting threats out there, you know, the jokes, you're always the butt end of it, abusive type of a joke, just a constant argument about anything can be turned into you, you're the reason why you're so low, you know, no. Controlling conversations, yes, even those, and I'm sure a lot of you just said, oh, yeah. The old, you can't talk on top of me, we're just trying to have a regular conversation, but yet he seems to control, or she seems to control, who can speak, when, for how long, who gets the floor, you know, stuff like that. It's just ridiculous. This is not a board meeting where the big boss is telling you what the big project is about, okay? You guys are discussing even something as small as what is going to happen at the grocery store turns into a friggin' argument because, why? Because he was talking and you said, wait, we needed milk too, you know. Nonsense. Absolutely maddening nonsense, you know, discounting, criticizing you, blaming you all the time, all this negative, just everything is your fault. They can't get a job, it's your fault. They don't make enough money, it's your fault. I gained weight, it's your fault, you know, How is me, you gaining weight, my fault? How is you not having a job, my fault? How is you not having a high enough income, my fault? How is, you know, because, oh, you're at fault because you're such a low life of a wife or a low life of a girlfriend or whatever, you know, it gets all blame on you. You know, if they act out, it's your fault. If a girl flirts with them, it's your fault. If the kid messes up at school, it's your fault. You aren't a good enough mother, you know, and don't let you actually mess up, because then it really is your fault. And they're going to really throw that stuff at you. I mean, this is a constant thing you have got to live with on a regular basis. And if you live through this, you fully understand. This is not just, oh, I had a bad day. No, this is like every day is a terrible day. You have Heckle and Jekyll walking around your house on a constant. Oh, and part of the Heckle and Jekyll is also like you've got some mean monster, like some, you know, as mine nicknames himself, the ogre. Perfect example of what that is. Mad at the world, up to and including himself, you know, and there is no way to, you try your best to calm that down. You try to, you know, be the peacekeeper. You try to get in the middle of things. You know, and I did that all the time. I wound up getting my bachelor's degree this way, and then I continued on to get my master's the same exact way, where I had to have one ear pierced to what was going on in the house while I'm still trying to write my papers. I'm trying to do, you know, not an easy task. And this happened. And I don't care if you're going to school. I don't care if you have an infant. You have family, elder family living with you, extended family living with you. You living in somebody else's home. It doesn't matter. It always goes on. They quell it down the more people that are around. That was something I figured out, at least with mine. And it worked for a little bit, but then it stopped working. Because just like the mask falls off, they get tired of holding that up. Because they gotta act different than the way they want to. Like when your bedroom door closes, they act totally different. And that's how that works for them. And we have to understand, one, I'm not going to take it anymore. No, that's why I say I will not tolerate being yelled at, belittled in any shape, way, or form. And I don't care if you think that you've belittled me or not. I feel it. And that's what's important. And at this point in time, that's what's important. You know, when I feel low, when I feel anything, yes, I go to the Lord. I talk to Him all the time. I read my Bible. I read my Bible apps. I listen to sermons. I'm constantly trying to get more and more information. I'm listening to my music, and not always the same songs. And sometimes I will listen to a song I know is going to make me cry, because it actually makes me stronger. At the end of the song, I am stronger. I feel like I've cried out what I needed to cry out. And this is why, personally, I feel you need to get away. You gotta at least break something, you know. This cannot continue. And having a regular conversation like you would with a friend to say, yo, look, I didn't really like it when you crossed over and you called me this the other day on your joke. They don't go very well. This is not your typical conversation. This is not something that happened once or twice. This is something that goes on all the time. You're constantly being dragged through the mud, you know? And it is up to us to find a way, get our support, get our music, get our empowerment, get the Lord behind us, do what we got to do to get our friends, our girlfriends, our loved ones behind us and say, look, I need help. Staying silent is not going to work anymore. The only way to get better, the only way to get on a healing path, strictly, you got to get out. It's going to keep beating you up. So again, I want to thank you guys one and all for joining me. And again, you can reach me at loveisn'thurt@gmail.com for any questions, concerns, anything at all. And we can, we're also accepting support for my podcast to keep it up and running at anchor.fm/domesticviolence. And again, remember, love isn't hurt. It shouldn't hurt you when someone loves you. All right. Until next time. Bye-bye.